Good morning, everyone. This is Judge Jones. The time is 9 o'clock. Today is February the 22nd, 2021. This is the docket for Houston, Texas. First on this morning's docket, we have a claim objection in case number 18-60018, Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization. Mr. Patterson, good morning. Do you want to go ahead and make your appearance?
Good morning, Your Honor. Johnny Patterson on behalf of the trustee, Randy Williams.
All right, thank you. And Ms. Chang, I can see you both. Can you just confirm for me that you can hear me? So that's what I was worried. Okay, Mr. Chang, I think I heard you. Could we try that again?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Good morning, folks. And were we expecting Mr. Singh?
Yes.
As far as I know, he's going to be here. He filed with us an exhibit list last week, so we are.
All right. Mr. Chang, do you communicate with Mr. Singh via email or text?
Yes, I actually called the office last Friday to make sure that everything was to go.
Sure.
And the secretary confirmed that everything is up. Yeah.
No, I got it. I'm worried that he's not here, and I certainly know what folks in the city, you included, have been through the past couple of days. I'm just worried that perhaps something occurred. Do you have his cell phone number?
Yes, sir. I can now try to give him a call if it's okay. So that you can leave the conference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. While we're waiting, Ms. Nasiri, good morning. I didn't have anything else on the docket, and the docket's been kind of crazy moving around because of last week, but I don't have anything else listed until 11:30. Have we missed something?
Ryan, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We have the ball. It's a motion for relief from the plan injunction set for 9 a.m. Central in Neiman Marcus.
So I have that set for 11:30. Let me just check the docket real quick.
Sure. And you're right. No, I just sent a note that it actually is at 11:30 today. Oh. So my apologies.
It's so rare that I'm right. So I'm going to enjoy this one. All right. Then I'll see.
We'll see you in a little.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you,
Ms. Cottrell. I see Brendan logging on. Yeah. So, Mr. Chang, I saw Mr. Singh just attempt to pop on, and he reached out to Mr. Alonzo and said that he was having a computer problem. So we'll give him just a minute so he can see if he can work through that.
Thank you.
Mr. Singh, any chance that you're on the line? Okay, not yet. All right. How'd you folks fare? Any broken pipes or any damage?
No pipes, just lost electricity with 5 hours, but my parents had a lot of damage.
Oh, that's horrible. You only lost electricity for 5 hours?
Yes, I don't know how we did, but most of our neighborhood lost it for 3 days.
Same here. It was a little chilly inside the house.
Oh, wow. What about pipe damage? Are you okay?
Yeah, I live in fear of those things, so I actually turned the water off at the street. So, you know, I was just happy to, you know, deal with it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've all seen that picture of the icicles hanging down from the ceiling fan. That's the most bizarre thing there's a picture that's been circulating on sort of all of the major news channels of somebody had a pipe break right above a ceiling fan. And so there's a ceiling fan and then just a beautiful, spectacular icicle formation, which I can only imagine, you know, it looks both pretty and horrible in a picture. If you were living in it, there would be nothing pretty about it. That would just be awful.
Yeah. One of our friends on bedroom went down like 31 degrees.
Oh,
good. That's right. Mr. Singh, is that you?
It is, Your Honor. I'm absolutely sorry. My phone system just, my computer just restarted for some reason. I'm on my cell. I'm still trying to get on to the online.
Okay.
It'll take me about 2 minutes.
That's quite all right. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Mr. Patterson, your family weathered the storm all right?
We did okay. We didn't have power for. Went out Monday morning and came back, Thursday morning, I guess?
Yeah, that was same here. Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. That was bad. And we had one pipe issue, but miraculously, I had a guy come out the very next day and fixed it. It was a simple fix, and that was it.
Always good to know a guy.
So, but it was, unlike you, it was way too cold for way too long. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not having power sucked.
It's amazing what we take for granted. Knowing Mr. Singh's affinity for solar power, I'm going to guess he's going to tell us that, he was warm and balmy the entire time.
One of my friends just installed solar power probably three weeks prior, so he sent me a screenshot of the all the energy he's been getting while he's off the grid.
Oh, I'm sure that's right. It's makes you think about it.
Yeah, and everybody wants to get a generator now.
Well, you know, the problem is, at least, and again, you know, I guess we'll not know until we see what happens with the ERCOT hearings. But at least part of the rumors that are circulating was because of the cold temperature, and I got the formula, it's just math, but that, you know, the gas pressure in the system was simply low. And, you know, if everybody had a gas generator, you know, I don't know if they would have worked or not. There were a couple in our neighborhood, and I was very envious just to, you know, hear them running. But,
yeah, they let you know. You can hear it all night long.
Yeah. I have one friend who's got solar on his roof, and he has the Tesla battery walls, or what I think they're called, wall packs or battery walls, whatever they're called. And you know, he was just fine. Evidently, the heater, although that wouldn't make sense. Yeah, he was telling me there's certain appliances that really take up a lot of energy, and so they were having to be very careful about using this or using that. But they had electricity through it all, so makes you think. There he is.
We definitely take water and. And that's for granted, that's for sure.
The water.
The water is
affected
us a lot.
Yeah. There he is. Mr. Singh, can you hear us?
I can now, Your Honor. Sorry, I was getting ready and my entire computer system went down for some reason.
Quite all right. I started early trying to make sure everything would come up. Just because. You want to go ahead and make your appearance?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Brendan Singh on behalf of the chain.
All right. And folks, are we ready to proceed forward? Have there been any developments?
We have not been able to tell you, Your Honor. Go ahead.
Mr. Patterson.
I was just going to say, if we're ready to go, we've talked, obviously, but I don't think there's anything short of the district court making a determination.
I got it. And how did you all want to proceed forward this morning?
Your Honor, I'll go through my exhibits. It's going to be, I shouldn't say straightforward, but it's not, very heavily factually driven. It's more document driven than anything. And so I'm happy to walk you through at least the trustee's position and show you what we have, and then I think Mr. Singh is going to want to do the same thing. I think it's really boiled down to a legal argument. There's no factual dispute that I'm aware of.
Fair enough. Mr. Singh, you agree?
Yeah, I agree, Your Honor. I think at the last hearing, the court had signed a motion to allow us to amend the claim. We did amend it. The only thing that's included is the transfer fee that was paid by the Chang. We amended to take out the attorney's fees that wasn't awarded by the state court. And Your Honor, I think we are in the same transfer fee we've looked at in the other cases. We did change it to sort of that mutual mistake, which was with the group of other claimants, sort of where they were. But I think no factual dispute as to whether it was paid or not. It's just a question of whether the Changs would get a transfer fee just like the other claimants.
Got it. So I've got the trustees' exhibits identified as 276-1 through 276-5. Mr. Patterson, are you offering those?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Singh, any objection?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right, then they're admitted, and then I've got Chang Exhibits 275-1 and 275-2. Mr. Patterson, any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right, then they are admitted. Then, Mr. Patterson, why don't you start us off?
Yes, Your Honor. And if you would, and of course,
and I'm sorry, just because it's the system is running a little slow. If you're going to reference an exhibit, if you will tell me which one, I will pop it up, look at it, and then just count to three to give me a moment to get it up.
Well, Will, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Pre-petition, the Changs were sued by the debtor regarding the building of a garage. The litigation ensued. It expanded the Changs' counterclaim, challenging the validity, the corporate validity of the debtor, as well as suing for several other causes of action. They challenged the debtor's existence. If you would pull up exhibit number 3, it's going to be 276-3.
I have it.
And, Your Honor, you'll see that is the Chang's second amended original. I'm sorry. I have the wrong one. It is the Chang's first amended answer and counterclaim. And just going through, you can see there the verified pleas, but what I'm interested in is on page 2 of 12 of the exhibit, the affirmative defenses. You see they go through basically all of the equitable defenses with respect to the claims. And then in paragraph 9 of the exhibit, the counterclaims, the Changs go through and ask the state court to declare that, in effect, the debtor was not validly in existence and therefore could not have collected the fee. Now, what you'll also see is there's not technically mutual mistake listed in their affirmative defenses or their counterclaims. However, res judicata doesn't require that they actually plead or assert a particular claim or cause of action, but that they could have, and that it was the same transaction. And this is clearly the same transaction. The Changs appealed. They won in state court. There was an appeal. The appellate decision is the exhibit form. So that'll be 276-4 is the appellate court opinion.
Got it.
And you'll see there, they had originally claimed their attorney's fees. You'll see in the appellate opinion the attorney's fees were denied. The trustee's position, Your Honor, is that race judicata kind of bars any equitable claim at this point. They went through a state court jury trial as well as the appellate process, had every opportunity under this transaction to assert these claims. They did, they did not, and to the extent they did, they were denied, obviously, by the appellate court and or the jury trial, and we think at this point those claims are barred under the doctrine of res judicata.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Singh?
Thank you, Your Honor. So the chains are sort of, and this sort of goes back to what happened in the first group of omnibus objections, Your Honor. There was at least a question to those folks as whether this court order covered the folks in the original omnibus objection, that whether this order would allow those folks to get a claim in this case. And we went through, if you remember, at length of whether it would, whether it extended to these folks. And I think somewhat the court, and I think myself and the trustee at that time, at least believed it possibly brought some question as to whether this court order got rid of the association, whether they can collect fees or not. And I think when we went through that process and whether this order connected to those individuals in the original omnibus objection, whether it would cover them and such. And I think the court went through the analysis of, if I remember correctly, looking back at the transcript, that we didn't want to leave the community without an association. And at that time, I think we looked at and what all of those folks, at least the ones I represented, the court allowed a claim for the transfer fee under a mutual mistake. I think we have a little bit different situation here where we don't have that argument as to whether this court order covers this proof of claim, in the sense that this was a chain's case and the court made rulings, and whether that ultimately affects the disposition of the HOA, I sort of not what we're here for, I think. But all of that in a backdrop does come together in sort of what we're looking at. And the same way I think that the court looked at, and we balanced sort of the equities between the folks that paid the transfer fee, the folks that bought houses and paid a fee that may or may not have been collected. And I think, again, not something I think we need to adjudicate today. But what we're here for is to allow the claim of the chains, who went through the process in state court to go through the state court process, go through the appellate court process, and they did pay the claim just like the other claimants. And they should be allowed, at least under either theory of mutual mistake like we did in the other omnibus claim. And that's sort of why we amended for the mutual mistake. We did withdraw, originally it was filed with the proof of, with the attorney's fees, which we took out, and I think the chains stand in my view, I guess, a better position than even the other folks that already got a claim in this case, because at least this lawsuit is particularly to them, where the other argument, at least in the omnibus objection, was that this judgment didn't affect those claims because they weren't brought in or they weren't part of that lawsuit. And so, sort of a very simple route, I guess, straightforward route, I guess, is a better word. We're asking for the change to be allowed their $3,750 transfer fee claim. Whether that ultimately results in a payout to them or not, we, at this point in time, I don't think we're there. And part of bankruptcy code, I don't think that's something we need to adjudicate today. But the documents and evidence shows, with the claim, shows that they did pay the transfer fee, just like the other residents in the neighborhood. And this lawsuit, they did bring the state court an appeal, and I think applied to them. In terms of whether they brought such a mutual mistake claim in state court, I guess that what we would ask background is sort of a headwind. I think the mutual mistake was, if I remember correctly, something brought by Mr. Fallick in the last clearing, and that's sort of what we looked at to get there. And I think we don't ultimately know what's going to happen with GMO, but my belief was that the court sort of crafted a way to allow folks who made the transfer fee to pay it and not sort of kill association in trying to doing something. And I think, so that's why we sort of stayed away from the argument of whether the HOA is validly formed and all of those things. And I think what we're asking again is for the proof of claim for the change to be allowed. And then what happens to the HOA, what happens to the claim, whether they get paid out later on, is something for down the road. And so that's sort of our position in a nutshell, Your Honor.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Patterson, do you want to respond?
No, Your Honor. I think that you have the picture, and again, we think that if they felt there was any basis to return their transfer fee, they had full opportunity to litigate that in state court, and they haven't done.
All right. Thank you. So let me do this. I want to make a number of comments because this has been a long case. It's been a hard case, been very personal for Mr. and Ms. Chang. And I remember very well when Mr. and Ms. Chang, and Mr. Chang especially, wasn't quite sure what to make of me, and he wasn't quite sure what to make of the process, and he wasn't sure that it was a fair process. And I hope that his mind's been changed, regardless of what occurs. I also remember very clearly asking him to put aside his grievances and try to be a leader in the neighborhood, and it is my opinion that he tried to do that. And I want to make very clear, I agree with Mr. Singh's statements that this is not a determination of whether the association exists, whether or not what was done was right or not. This is simply not the forum to do that. But if there ever was a situation where someone has been a leader, has tried to do the right thing, has asserted his claim, has done everything the bankruptcy code expects them to do, it is the Changs. And to the extent that I have the equitable authority to do so, I'm going to allow a general unsecured claim in the amount of the transfer fee. Now, Mr. Chang, I want you to listen to me for just a second. Mr. Patterson did exactly what he was supposed to do. Trustee had a very valid basis for objecting to the claim, and because it is an equitable argument, equitable arguments can go both ways. And so I want you to understand that this is not one of those things where you should be angry at Mr. Patterson or Mr. Williams. They've done exactly what they are supposed to do for the system to work. They've brought me a dispute, and you heard Mr. Patterson start off. So we just need for you to make the call, and that's my job. And so everybody has done exactly what they are supposed to do. What I'm going to do, let me get the amount. So it's, Mr. Singh, I just want to make sure it's $39,37.50, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Mr. Patterson's order, and I'm going to change it, and I'm going to allow the claim, just so there's no doubt, in the amount of $3,937.50. So it now reads, it used to say order disallowing, it now says order allowing claim number 319, followed by Peter and Catherine Chang. It says, is it ordered that claim 319 as amended is followed by Peter and Catherine Chang in the amount of $3,937.50 as a general unsecured claim with all other claims disallowed. So that should make it very clear that this comes to an end, that the Changs can get back to hopefully enjoying doing things other than being engaged in the legal process, and we can move on and put this one to bed. Mr. Singh, you agree?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
All right, then with that, let me get this just right. All right, that has been signed, and it is off the docketing, so that should be there in just a couple of minutes. Mr. Patterson, I saw, I think, what are attributable to your efforts. It looks like perhaps you had a conversation with counsel for the committee. Was that, is this your handiwork?
Your Honor.
All right.
Yeah.
I have seen the withdrawal of the fee application. So that takes that off our plate. What else do I need to get set for you?
I believe the only thing we have left, Your Honor, is in the adversary proceeding. There's a motion to dismiss that the trustee has filed. I think this brings the claims process to a close.
Okay.
And I know the tax returns are being prepared as we speak. There's a couple of years tax returns that the accountant for the estate is working on. And my guess is once those tax returns are done and filed, Mr. Williams would be able to start making distributions and close the case.
Got it. All right. So let me... It's February 22nd, so there's certainly been time for a response to be filed in the adversary. There has been none. I'll grant the trustee's motion to dismiss. All right. That has been signed. It's on its way to docketing. All right. With respect, and then Mr. Patterson, obviously you'll have a final fee application. There'll be an application for the tax returns that have to be filed. So just let Mr. Alonzo know what you need in terms of time. And this,
yes,
if there's anything I can do to help move this along, just ask.
I will, Your Honor, and I appreciate it.
All right. Anything else, folks, that we need to talk about? All right. Then.
I just like to thank you personally for going through all this saga, shall I say, you know, with the neighborhood, and I appreciate the time and effort that you put in for everybody.
Thank you for saying that. I still believe that the town hall meetings were the best thing that we did. I know that a lot of people had a lot of criticism of that. I still think it was a good thing, and I intend on doing that again the next time I get this problem. I learned a lot through the process. But thank you all, Mr. Patterson. Thank Mr. Williams for me, if you would please, and Mr. Singh. Thank you.
I will.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're on the.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Another claim objection set on the docket today for 9:30.
There is. Hold on. Let me. I don't have that on my docket, but as you heard earlier, actually, I was right on one, but the docket's kind of flying around. Mr. and Ms. Chang, you folks are free to go. Thank you so much. Be safe. Wear your mask.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Patterson, do you have a docket for me?
Let me pull it up. I can pull it up, Judge. I was looking at it this morning. The docket notes refer to the claim objection of Mr. McCline, but that order was entered on the Klein claim objection, which is at docket 251.
Okay. So 4:32.
I just want you to be able to close your docket entries out. But
no, got it. Thank you.
And so what I, tell me when you're, when you've got it, and I'm going to give you some more explanation of what.
All right, so in the courtroom minutes for 256 on January 25th, there was a continuation to the claim objection filed by Mr. and Ms. Klein. That objection is at 432. And I do agree with you on...
I think the order is at 251.
It's 251. Let me just pop that up and take a quick look at it. Let me ask you, Mr. and Ms. Klein on the line. So it looks like that the order that I signed was for a duplicate.
That's right. And what happened is that at the hearing, at the prior hearing, you actually reset the trustee's objections to the claim of Golden Properties, which was also a duplicate claim,
right.
But that is one that, that I had made a mistake on and objected to the wrong claim. One had been allowed. Anyway, it was my mistake, and you reset it at my request. I talked to Mr. Gardner, who's the representative for Golden. He had appeared at the hearing.
Right.
And the trustee withdrew their objection, and so the docket is straight and correct as to that, but your docket or the calendar just referenced the wrong claim, and so I want it to be cleaned up.
I got it. Thank you. We'll make a correcting entry, a correcting docket entry today, and thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yes, sir, but we don't have anything else for today. I know it's on the docket, but we withdrew that objection, and so we're good.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Judge.
We'll be adjourned until 11:30.